look at the heavens and all your handiwork, I say how excellent is your name in all the earth. I see what you
you get out of your seats now and turn around and shake hands and fellowship with one another. Let our visitors know how glad we are to have them. Thank you.
your songbook. Turn on page number 34. Bless the Lord, oh my soul. Page number 34, if you need it. Little chorus, bless the Lord, oh my soul.
Come forward to receive your offering, and if you are visiting with us today, we'd appreciate so much if you take just a moment to fill out a visitor's card. If you were given a bulletin as you came in this morning, there's a little visitor registration card in there, and if not, there are visitor's cards located in the back of the pews, and if you would take just a moment to fill those out and then drop them in the offering plate just a moment, it would certainly be a joy to us, and we'd like to send you some information this week from the church. It's a real blessing to have Mr. Yarrington with us today from Waterloo, Iowa. He's in the back. He's received our tapes, and we're glad he's with us this morning, Dr. Yarrington's dad, and good to have him with us. And others that are visiting with us, we appreciate all of you being here. Do check your bulletin now. Remember those in prayer. And just one note there I want to make mention of. Many of you know that Gladys Thomas went home to be with the Lord on Friday afternoon, and she's a member of the Watts classes. This is the third that they have lost and just about 10 days, but her funeral will be tomorrow at 11:30, and that'll be at the Chattanooga Funeral Home at East Chapel, and they'll be receiving friends this afternoon, so let's remember the family, be praying for them. You give and be faithful in your giving, and the Lord will honor you for doing so. Let's pray. Father, we do thank you for the great things you've done, and we ask you, Lord, to continue to move. Do touch those who have needs in their life, touch those who've lost loved ones, continue to minister to their hearts, and meet every need. I pray you bless the offering. May we give today an expression of our love to you. In Jesus' name, amen.
the glory. You're worthy of the praises that we bring. And you alone deserve the honor and all the power. That is why all your children sing.
We sing worthy. We sing worthy. We sing worthy to the Lord. We sing worthy. We sing worthy. Promised land. Oh, glory.
What a wonderful thing. tell you, we were talking in our Sunday school class about Florence Serb, and her daughters are here today, and it's so good to see them. And there was some ladies in our class that are in our class today because of Florence. She never stopped pursuing them until she got them in Sunday school in our class. And what a blessing she was, and she's up there rejoicing today, and what a joy it is. But I told my class we need to follow her example. We need to reach everybody we can reach and tell everybody we can tell. And it's my desire this morning to live for Jesus. I haven't sung this song in a long time. Brother Rick called me and asked me to do it, and I hope it'll bless your heart. It's my desire to live for Him. It's my desire to live for Jesus. It's my desire just to live for Him. Though often I fail and have brought Him much shame, it's my desire just to live for Him. It's my
Let's open our Bibles to the book of John chapter 21. The book of John chapter 21. We'll look at a few verses this morning. And while you're finding your place there, I do trust it is your desire to serve the Lord. Many of you expressed that desire last Sunday night in our commitment service, where we ask you to make commitments for the coming year. This is what you'd like to do. This is where you would like to serve the Lord. Close to 300 did so. And I want you to know that I appreciate your desire to want to live for God, your desire to want to do something for the Lord. And we'll be getting all of your names, the areas that you signed up to, getting them to department heads and different things like that. So you'll be contacted in a few days, in the days to come, about going to work where you said you wanted to go to work. But I want you to know I appreciate it. Let's stand as we honor the reading of God's Word. I want us to think this morning on this subject. My Jesus, I love Thee, or do I? My Jesus, I love Thee, or do we really love Him? John chapter 21, we find Peter being faced with that question. Notice beginning in verse 15 of John chapter 21, and I want us to think again this morning, oh, my Jesus, I love Thee, or do I? Look at verse 15. The Bible said, so when they had dined, Jesus saith to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? He saith unto him, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, feed my lambs. He saith unto him again the second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? And he saith unto him, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, feed my sheep. He saith unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Peter was grieved because he said unto him the third time, lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. Jesus saith unto him, feed my sheep. Verily, verily, I say unto thee, when thou wast young, thou girdest thyself and walkest whither thou wouldest. But when thou shalt be old, thou shalt stretch forth thy hands, and another shall gird thee and carry thee whither thou wouldest not. This spake he, signifying by what death he should glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he saith unto him, follow me. Then Peter, turning about, seeth the disciple whom Jesus loved following, which also leaned on his breast at supper, and said, Lord, which is it that betrayeth thee? Peter, seeing him, saith to Jesus, Lord, and what shall this man do? And Jesus saith unto him, if I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? Follow thou me. Thank you. You may be seated. I want us to pray. And this morning, I want us to put our love for Jesus Christ on trial. We say that we love the Lord, but do we really love the Lord? My Jesus, I love thee, or do I? Let's pray. Our Father, this morning in Jesus' name, as we have been brought here this morning, You have reminded us of many wonderful things, and You have spoken to our heart already in this service about things, and we want to pause to give You thanks for it. We ask You, Lord, that You'd put within our heart a deep desire to want to serve You. I want to thank You for the many that last Sunday night that said, I want to serve You. And they said, Lord, I want to serve You this way. I want to serve You here. And I pray, Lord, in the days to come that, Lord, You'll keep that commitment fresh in our heart, and we'll see great things done as a result of the commitment and the dedication of those who want to serve You. Lord, speak to us today about loving You. Challenge us today. Lord, examine our heart. Put us on trial before You. Blessed Holy Ghost of God, be Lord over this service now. And I pray You'll bring us face to face with our love for You and the depths of our love for You. So speak to us now from the youngest to the oldest. Let no one, Lord, miss what You've got to say to us today. For it is in Jesus' name we pray and ask these things. Amen. When I think about the matter of love, I'm aware this morning that you can express love in many different ways. I think about a couple that I read about that was at a Burger King one day. And it's an elderly couple. And they ordered one hamburger, one order of fries, one Coke, but they got two cups. They walked over to their booth and they sat down. The man reached over and placed a napkin in front of himself, placed a napkin in front of his wife, and then he carefully divided the fries between the two. He took the hamburger and he divided it, putting half on his napkin, half on his wife's napkin, and then he divided the Coke equally. Well, all the time there was this gentleman that was watching them, and he thought, well, maybe they can't afford to buy anything else. So he walked over to their table and he offered to buy them another hamburger, another order of fries, and another Coke. And the wife looked up and said, No, you don't understand. Said, we have been married for more than 50 years and we're still madly in love with each other. And all of our life we have shared, and at the very beginning we agreed that we would split everything right down the middle. And the man said, I see, that's great. That's wonderful. So he walked back over and sat down, but he was so impressed with the couple that he kept watching them. Well, he noticed that the man began eating, and the wife just sat there with her hands in her lap, watching her husband eat. And he thought to himself, now, sharing and dividing everything down the middle is fine, but sitting there and making her wait till he got through, he said, I don't understand that. So he got up and he walked back over to the table and commented on it. And she said, no. Once again, as I told you, we decided in the very beginning that we would split everything down the middle. And today is his day to use the teeth first. Well, may I say, that's one way to express love. Amen. Again, that's one way to show love. I am mindful this morning that one of the great issues of the Christian life is the matter of love. One of the great issues of being a child of God is our love, not just for one another, but our love for Jesus Christ. One of the greatest issues that faces my life day by day by day is, do I love the Lord? And one of the issues that faces your life day by day by day is, do you love the Lord? Do you really love the Lord? I think about the missionary Hudson Taylor, the great missionary to China. He was interviewing some young people one time that had come to him and they wanted to serve the Lord on the mission field. And so he was asking them certain questions to find out if they were qualified or if he felt they were qualified to serve on the mission field. He asked them, why do you want to go to the mission field? And the candidates gave him several answers. For one, someone said, because Christ has commanded us to go. Another said, because millions are dying and I want to do my part to keep people out of hell. And Taylor told all of them, he said, all of your answers are good, but they're the wrong motive for going to the mission field. He said, all of your motives are good, but they will fail you in the times of severe trial and testing. And then he told each of them, he said, there is only one motive that will keep you going when things are tough on the mission field. And he said, that motive is found in 2 Corinthians 5:14, where Paul said, the love of Christ constraineth me. When Paul made that statement there, the love of Christ constraineth me, it was not so much that Christ's love for us constrained us, though that may be involved, but it was the love of Christ. My love for Christ, Paul said, that constrains me and drives me. And Hudson Taylor was absolutely right. Again, the issue today is, do we love the Lord? Spurgeon said, I looked at him and he looked at me and we've been one ever since. It is so loving Him and so loving Him that nothing matters in life, nothing is any more important in life, I should say, than Jesus Christ. It is that kind of love that God demands. It is that kind of love that God deserves, and it is that kind of love God desires. One of my favorite hymns is the song by A.J. Gordon, My Jesus, I Love Thee, I Know Thou Art Mine. And we often sing that, and I still remember the first place and the first time I ever heard that song and loved it at the very beginning and have loved it since. And we often sing, My Jesus, I love Thee. But I want to ask the question today, do we really love the Lord? We sing that we love Him, we say that we love Him, but do we really love the Lord? That is the issue before us. The Bible often speaks about our love for Christ. Matthew 22:37, the scripture said, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all of thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all of thy mind." With all thy mind. Here is the question, do we? Do we love Him with all of our heart? Do we love Him with all of our mind? Do we love Him with all of our soul? That's the very question that you find being asked in John chapter 21. Let me point you to the text today, and there are three things that I want to draw from the text that I want to set before you this morning about the matter of loving the Lord Jesus Christ. The first thing that I want to bring to your attention today is what I call the measure of love. The measure of love. When I talk about love, I am talking about our love for Jesus Christ. Not only the issue, do we love the Lord, but how much do we love the Lord? Now, I think about our love. I think about our love in light of Christ's love for us. Well, the Bible tells us that we love Him because He first loved us. I realize that it is His love for me that motivates my love for Him. But as I think about His love for me, I think about a love that I never have to question. I never have to question the love of God. I never have to wonder about the love of God. I never have to worry, does God love me? That is a settled issue. That is a settled matter. You never have to wonder about that. God loves us. Can I get an amen there? That we never have to question. It is never on trial. But on the other hand, my love for Christ is constantly being challenged in the Bible. Your love for Jesus Christ is constantly being examined by the Word of God. You notice the story here, and notice how the Lord asked the question to Peter, "Do you love me?" And what he was asking is, "Lord," or "Peter, how much do you love me?" Let me point out two things. One, I see a love that is examined. A love that is examined. You see in the scripture there, we read a moment ago, three different times Jesus asked Peter, "Do you love me?" In verse 15, notice what he said. He said to Peter, Simon Peter, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? In verse 16 again, he said, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? And also in verse 17, the third time, he said, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? You see, what Jesus was doing was examining Peter's love for Him. He was saying, Peter, do you love me? Peter, I want to know something today. Do you really love me? What he's doing is challenging Peter's love. He is putting Peter's love to the test. It is the matter of love being examined. I think our Lord must feel sometimes like the little girl that came to her mama one day. She'd been playing with her dolls. And she came to her mother who was working in the kitchen. She had a doll under each arm. And she looked up at her mother and says, Mommy, Mommy, I love them so much. I love them so much. But they never love me back. And I think sometimes our Lord must feel the same way. He looks down upon me, and He looks down upon you, and He looks down upon a world that He gave His Son for. And God says, I love them so much. And we might ask, how much? As someone said, He went to Calvary, and He opened His arms and said, this is how much I love the world. But He loves us so much. But I think sometimes God must feel that He gets so little in return. A matter of our loving Christ and not loving Him as we should. You notice verse 15 carefully. He said, Peter, I want to know something. Do you love me? But notice verse 15 what he said. Peter, lovest thou me more than these? Put a circle around the word these for just a moment. He's examining Peter's love, and he said, Peter, I want to know something. Do you love me? And Peter, I want to know this. Do you love me more than these? Now, what is it that Jesus meant when He referred to these? As I have read different writers this week, I found there's been different ideals about what Jesus meant when He said more than these. Some suggested that He was talking about the boat they were in and the nets and the fishing equipment. One described how Jesus swept His hand over the boat and out over the nets, and He pointed to all these things and said, Peter, I want to know, do you love me more than these? If that be the case, what Jesus was asking was, Peter, do you love me more than anything? Peter, do you love me more than your possessions? Do you love me more than your vocation? Do you love me more than your occupation? Peter, do you love me more than all of these things? The Lord could ask us the same question today. He comes to us and He challenges our love, and He asks us, do we love Him? But He could say to every one of us today, do you love me more than these? Do you love me more than your wealth? Do you love me more than your job? Do you love me more than all the things you possess and all the things that you enjoy in life? Do you love me more than anything? Other writers suggested that what Jesus meant was is that he looked out over his fellow disciples. And no doubt these were very close men because they had gone through a lot of things together. Now we find certain ones of them still together. And some suggest that when Jesus said, Simon, do you love me more than these? That he pointed over to the bank, to the shore, to the other disciples. And he said, Peter, do you love me more than these? If that be the case, then he was saying to Peter, do you love me more than anyone? Peter, do you love me more than anything? Peter, do you love me more than anyone? The Lord could ask us the same question today. Do we love him more than anyone? You see, the Lord is not wanting our love exclusively. He's not saying that I don't want you to love your father and your mother and friends and family and whatever. But he said, I want you to love me supremely. He made that statement in Matthew 10:37. He that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. Again, he was not wanting to eliminate our love for father and mother. But what he's wanting us to do is to love him so much more and to love him supremely. I ask you this morning, Jesus, like he asked Peter, Peter, lovest thou me more than these? I want to ask you today, do you love Jesus Christ more than anything? Do you love Jesus Christ more than anyone? The Lord is asking us that today. He examines our love. He challenges our love. He puts our love to the test. Our love is put to trial. Do we love him? Do we love him more than these? But look at something else in the text. You not only see a love that is examined, but you also see a love that is expressed. For you see, Jesus three times said, Peter, do you love me? And each time, Peter answered the Lord. You notice again in verse 15, Jesus said, Peter, do you love me more than these? And Peter expresses his love by saying, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. Verse 16, again he asked, Peter, do you love me? And he said, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. And again in verse 17, he asked, Peter, do you love me? And Peter again said, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. You see, there is a love that has been expressed, but there's an interesting usage of words here that is very enlightening to what Jesus was asking and what Peter was saying to the Lord. For example, there are many different words that are translated in our Bible, love. Many different words from back in the original language and whatever that are translated L-O-V in our Bible, but they come from different words. For example, notice in verse 15, I want you to underscore the word that Jesus used. He said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? I want you to put a circle around the word lovest there. It is what we often refer to as agape love. You've heard that expression on several occasions. The word that Jesus used here, lovest thou, Simon, do you love me? He used the word that spoke of the highest kind of love that a person could give. It's the kind of love that God gives, for God so loved the world. It is a love that is divine. It is a love that speaks of a deep devotion. It is a lofty type of love. Again, it's the highest kind of love that an individual can give to someone. And Jesus looked at Peter and said, now, Peter, I want to know something. Hey, Peter, do you love me? Supremely. That's what he's asking Peter. Peter, do you love me? But notice in verse 15 how Peter answered. This is what is interesting. Jesus said in verse 15, Peter, do you love me? Do you love me more than anything? Do you love me more than anyone? Do you have the highest kind of love for me that a person could have? And this is what Peter said. Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. Put a circle around the word love that Peter used. Jesus used the word that spoke of the highest kind of love that man could show. But Peter said, Lord, you know that I love thee. And he used an entirely different word. He used the word phileo, which means to be very fond of. It means to have a special love for someone, that be very fond of that individual, but not quite what Jesus meant. Jesus said to Peter, Peter, I want to know something. Do you love me more than anything?
Peter, I want to know, how much do you love me? Do you love me more than anyone? And Peter said, Lord, you know I am extremely fond of you. Peter, he said, Jesus, I want you to know. Jesus said, do you have a supreme love for me? And Peter said, yeah, I have a special love for you. I think about our love for Christ, and I think if most of us were honest today, we would have to answer Jesus like Peter did. Jesus comes to us and he challenges our love. He says, Ken Trivet, I want to know, do you love me more than anything? Ken Trivet, I want to know, do you love me more than anyone? And he comes to every one of us and he asks us the same question. And if we were all honest, we would have to say, Lord, you know that I am very, very fond of you. We would have to say in many cases that he holds a special place in my heart, but he does not have preeminence in my heart. I think about a fellow that called his girlfriend and said, darling, I love you, and I want you to know how much I love you. I'd climb the highest mountain for you. I'd swim the deepest stream for you. I would fight a jungle of lions for you. And if it doesn't rain, I'll be able to see you tonight. That's being fond. But I think about another person who wrote these words. She said, I climbed up the door and I shut in the stairs. I said my shoes and took off my prayers. I shut off the bed and climbed into the light, all because he kissed me goodnight. She was in love, amen. And what Jesus is asking today, and he's asking every one of us, do we love him more than anyone? And Peter said, Lord, I am very, very fond of you. So there is the measure of our love. Not only do we love the Lord, but how much do we love the Lord? Are we just fond of him? Does he have a special place in our heart? Do we really care about him, and we really love him, and we're glad that he's our Savior, and we're very fond of him. But Jesus wants to know, do you love me more than anything? Do you love me more than anyone? It is the measure of our love. But let me give you the second thing from this story. Not only do we find the measure of love, but I also see in this story the manifestation of love. Jesus said to Simon on three occasions, Peter, do you love me? And Peter answered and said, Lord, thou knowest that I love you. He responded, not how the Lord wanted, but yet he responded. But you'll notice something else that occurred in that conversation. Three times Jesus asked Peter a question. Three times Peter answered the question, and each time that Peter answered the question, Jesus told him to do something. He said in verse 15, Peter, lovest thou me more than these? And Peter said, Lord, you know that I'm very fond of you. And Jesus said, feed my lambs. Verse 16, he said to him, Simon, do you love me more than anything? And he said, Lord, you know that I am very fond of you. And Jesus said in verse 16, feed my sheep. Verse 17, he asked him, do you love me? And Peter said, you know that I love you. And Jesus said, feed my sheep. You not only see the matter of love probed, but you see the matter of love proven. It's like Peter, like Jesus was saying to Peter, if you love me, then show me that you love me. If you love me, prove your love for me. Peter, I want to know, how much do you love me? And Peter said, this is how I love you. And Jesus said, now prove it to me. Show your love to me. Feed my sheep. Now, how is love proven? He probes our love, wanting to know how much we love him. But how do we prove our love? We say, my Jesus, I love thee. Or do we? How do we show or manifest or prove our love? Well, let me suggest two ways. One, it is a love to be stated. Jesus said, Peter, do you love me? And what Jesus was wanting Peter to do was to tell him, Peter, do you love me? Jesus was asking for an answer. He wanted Peter to say how much he loved him. And I believe one of the ways our Lord wants us to prove our love is by stating our love. By telling us, telling him, and telling others that we love him. I like the couple that were married for about 30 years, and one day the wife said, honey, don't you love me anymore? And he said, honey, what makes you think that? She said, you never tell me. And he said, honey, I told you the day we got married I loved you. And if I ever changed my mind, I'd let you know. Well, that's not what the Lord is asking for. I believe the Lord wants us to say that we love him. I believe he wants us to privately tell him that we love him. to get along with Him and not just to come to Him and say, Lord, now give me, but sometimes just to get alone and just say, Jesus, I want to tell You that I love You. I want to say that I love You. Lord Jesus, You saved me from my sin and gave me a heavenly home. I love You and I want to say it. I believe He wants us to tell Him privately, but I believe He wants us to state it publicly. I think about the Welsh revival. One of the turning points in the Welsh revival was a little backward girl that got up in a service one night. And everybody knew she was extremely backward. She was so backward that if you were just talking one-on-one, she couldn't even look you in her eyes. But one night, the Spirit of God was so mightily working that this little girl got up and she stammered for just a few moments and finally said, I just want you to know I love Jesus. And she sat down. And it began to burn in the hearts of the people. It was one of the turning points in the Welsh revival. I believe our Lord, He wants us to publicly say, I love You. It's a love to be stated. But second of all, it is a love to be shown. He said, Peter, you say that you love me. Now feed my lambs. Feed my sheep. Feed my sheep. He was saying, Peter, I want to know, do you love me? Tell me, do you love me? And then He said, Peter, I want you to show me that you love me. This is what I want you to do. Prove your love for me. I realize this morning the easiest thing to do is to say that we love the Lord, right? But it's a whole lot harder to prove our love for the Lord. But our Lord wants us to show our love. And I really believe this, and I really mean this. I believe today that if we really love God, it'll be seen in our lives. I really believe if we love the Lord like Jesus wants to be loved, love more than anything, love more than anyone, I really believe that you'll see it in our life. It'll manifest itself in your life. It's kind of like having the measles. If you got it, it's going to pop out all over you. And if you love Christ like you really ought to love Him, it's going to be manifested. I believe we manifest our love for God how we attend the house of God. Amen? I really believe that and mean that. I believe that we show how much we love God by how we come to the house of God. You cannot convince me that you love Jesus Christ and you rarely come to the house of God. I believe if you love God, you're going to love the things that He loves. And Jesus loved the church. And when you love Him, it'll be manifested. You'll want to be in the house of God Sunday morning and Sunday night and Wednesday night. It's a proof of your love for Jesus Christ. I believe our service is an expression and proof of our love. You can't tell me you love Jesus and you won't do anything for Him. Again, if you love Him, you love what He loves, and He loves souls, and He loves winning people to Christ and doing the work of God and the will of God. And when a man loves Jesus Christ, he will show that love by serving God. I believe you also show your love through your giving. I believe one of the telltale signs of how much we love God is what we do when the offering plate goes by on Sunday morning. In fact, the Bible even confirms that. 1 Corinthians 16:1, it uses the word collection. Now concerning the collection of the saints, 1 Corinthians 16:1, that word collection that is used there is a very interesting word. It's a word that speaks of making a statement about something. It is a word that is used not only to refer to money that is being taken up, but it literally means to say something. And when you give on Sunday morning, you're saying something. The amount that you write on that check, you are saying something. When you write an amount that is less than what God commands, what you're really saying is that I really don't believe God and I really don't love God like I should. What you say, but you say, oh no. The bottom line is you are saying something about doing His will, being obedient to Him. Boy, it died all of a sudden. Can I get amen right there? But the Bible, when it talks about, I believe we show our love in giving, and through our giving, we show how much we love God. You see, love, Jesus wants our love to be saved. It's a national survey done by the Sunday School Quarterly, and they found that 10% of church members cannot be found, and that 20% never attend, 25% admit they never pray, 35% admit they never contribute to their church, 60% never give to missions, 70% never assume responsibility. 85% never invite anyone to church. 95% never win anyone to Christ. And the last thing they said was, and 100% of them expect to go to heaven. I would say that 100% of them probably say, I love the Lord. But again, I don't want to be hard, but I want to be honest today. that when we really love Jesus Christ, it will be seen in our life. Our attendance, our giving, our service, our involvement, our desire to do something for God is it only reveals how much we love Jesus Christ. And if you don't love Him, it'll be seen in your life. And if you don't love Him, if He just has a place, that is obvious. But when He is Lord, and when He is loved more than anything and anyone, it is very obvious in our life. He wants us to show our love. Look at verse 17, for example. Notice again verse 17. And I talked about the two words. Look at verse 17. Verse 15, Jesus said, "Peter, do you love me more than anything and anyone?" And Peter said, "Lord, you know I'm very fond of you." Verse 16, he said the same thing. "Peter, I want to know, do you love me supremely?" And Peter said, "Lord, thou knowest that I'm very fond of you." But verse 17 is different. Jesus saith unto him the third time, "Simon, son of Jonas, are you just fond of me?" And Peter was grieved because he said unto the third time, "Are you just fond of me? Lovest thou me?" And Peter said, "Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I am just very fond of you." The first two times, Jesus said, "I want to know, do you love me supremely?" But the third time, he finally says, "Peter, lovest thou me? Peter, are you just fond of me?" And he grieved him because the Lord said, "Peter, are you just fond of me?" And he said, "Lord, you know everything. You know my heart. I may use the word love, but you know what my heart is. And you know what I feel in my heart. And Lord, you know that I am just fond of you. Lord, you've been very meaningful to me and special to me. I'm very fond. I don't love you like you really want me to love you." That's what Jesus said. And may I say this morning, as it grieved Peter, it ought to grieve our hearts. That someone that would love us so much, that would be willing to come to this earth and clothe himself in human flesh and go through all that he went through and die an agonizing, cruel death on the cross, and for that we might be saved and that we might go to heaven, it ought to grieve us that we do not love him more than anything and that we do not love him more than anyone. Amen. "Peter, do you love me?" That is the manifestation of my love. "Then feed my sheep." Let me give you a third and a final thing. You not only have the measure of love. Do you love me? How much? The manifestation of love. Show me. But there is the ministry of love. Look in verse 19, the latter part of verse 19. Notice what Jesus said to Peter. In the latter part of verse 19, he simply said to him, "Follow me." Look at the latter part of verse 22. "Follow thou me." I have found that when we really love the Lord, love always ends up in ministry. Love always ends up following Jesus. When we love Him, we'll follow Him. When we love Him, there will be ministry. Jesus said, "Peter," after He really got a hold of Peter's heart, and Peter finally is honest, Jesus wants to know how much does he love him, and finally he gets a hold of Peter's heart and realizes, "Peter, your problem's been, I have been an important person in your life, but I have not been Lord of your life. You've not loved me supremely." And then he says, "Peter, this is what I want you to do." They got that issue settled, and Jesus says, "Follow me." And he makes a statement twice. He says to him, for one thing, "Peter, I want you to follow me no matter what will happen." No matter what will happen. Look at verse 18 and 19. He said to him in verse 18 and 19, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, when thou wast young, thou girdest thyself and walkest whither thou wouldest." You did pretty well what you wanted. You had your own will. You did your own thing. But he said, "When thou shalt be old, thou shalt stretch forth thy hands. Another will gird thee. You'll depend on another and carry thee where thou wouldest not." This spake he, Jesus said. This is what he meant. Signifying by what death he should glorify God. And when he spoke of this, he saith unto him, "Peter, follow me." What he was saying there was, Peter, there was a day when you pretty well, you were self, you're an independent person, you're able to take care of yourself, whatever, there's going to come a day you're not going to be able to do that. In fact, he said, "Peter, you'll not even be able to prevent your own death." He's telling Peter, Lord, he's saying, "Peter, I want you to understand something now." He said, "You're going to follow me, but I want you to know in advance, somewhere you're going to die because you're following me. Your death will glorify God, but I want you to know right up front the cost involved in following me." But he was saying to Peter, Peter, follow me no matter what will happen. In the ministry of love, we really love Jesus Christ. He says to every one of them, follow me. Follow me no matter what will happen. Follow me when the bottom falls out. It is easy to come to church on Sunday morning and shout about the goodness of God, and we ought to do that. But what about on Monday when everything comes unraveled? What about on Monday or Friday when everything goes wrong? Are you still going to serve God when the bottom falls out? It is easy to serve God in the good times, but what about serving God in the bad times? He says to Peter, serve me and follow me no matter what happens. Second of all, he said to him in verse 20 and 22, you follow me no matter what others do. You follow me no matter what it costs. You follow me no matter what happens. But in verse 20 and 22, Peter, follow me no matter what anybody else does. Look in verse 20 and 20 through 22. Then Peter, turning about, seeth the disciple whom Jesus loved following, the one that had leaned on his breast at supper, the one who had asked, who is it that betrayeth thee? Peter, seeing him, saith to Jesus, what shall this man do? Lord, you're asking me to follow you. You're telling me that I'm going to die. Now, what about him? What's going to happen to him? What's he going to do? And Jesus saith unto him, if I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to you, Peter? Follow me. It's like Jesus saying, Peter, it doesn't matter what anybody else does. It doesn't matter what anybody else does with their life. You follow me. It doesn't matter what John does. It doesn't matter what Thaddeus does. It doesn't matter what Nathaniel does. Peter, you follow me no matter what anybody else does. It's the ministry of love. And Jesus looks down at every one of us this morning, and this is the question that he asked me. This is the question that he asked you. Do you love me? Do you love me more than anything? Do you love me more than anyone? Do you love me? If so, show me. Prove it in your life. He says, you live for me. If you love me, then follow me. Follow me no matter what happens in life. Follow me no matter what others do in life. My Jesus, I love thee. I know thou art mine. For thee all the follies of sin I resign. My blessed Redeemer, my Savior art thou. My Jesus, I love thee, and if ever, 'tis now. Let's stand to our feet. Loving Jesus Christ. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. I want you to think now for just a moment. Just imagine now, you are standing on a sandy shore. And you're standing in front of Jesus. He's sitting on the bow of a little fishing vessel. And I want you to hear his voice as he calls your name. Brian, lovest thou me more than these? Glenn, lovest thou me more than these? Peter, Denise, lovest thou me more than these? Listen as he calls your name. As he asks you today, all across this building, every man, every woman, every boy and girl, do you love me more than anything? Do you love me more than anyone? I think about R.G. Lee when he was getting married. A few minutes before his wedding, he walked into his wife-to-be, his bride-to-be, and he said, I want to say something to you, and I want you to understand. I love you more than anything in this world. But I want you to know up front, there's somebody that I love more than you. She knew what he meant. And that's what Jesus is saying. Do you love me? Listen today as he speaks to you and asks you, do you love me? And listen to your answer. Lord, you know that I love you. But listen to your answer. What did you mean, Lord, you know I love you? Did you mean, Lord, I'm very, very fond of you. You're a very special person in my life. I have a great love for you. The word sometimes used to describe a brotherly love. Phileo, Philadelphia, brotherly love. I love you like a brother. Sometimes we mean that. But what Jesus was wanting and is wanting is not that we love Him like a brother. He don't want a love that is compared to a love with any earthly associate. He wants a love that rises head and shoulders above Him. Would you say, Lord, Thou knowest that I love You more than anything and anyone? What kind of answer would you give Him? I'm not sure. Then look at your life. Say, Brother Ken, I'm not sure what I mean when I say, Lord, I love You. Then just let your life, how you treat the things of God, be your answer. How do you treat the house of God, working for God, all the things, all these things we can mention? How do you treat those? Those things will tell you whether you're just fond of Him or whether you love Him supremely. Today I want us to let the Lord speak to us. He deserves to be loved like that. And I want us today to be honest before Him. And when we began to sing in just a moment, I want you to come down here and I want you to do like Peter. Lord, let it grieve you at the heart. And come say, Jesus, You know everything. You know my heart. I do love You, and you have a very special place in my heart. But Lord, I got to be honest. I haven't loved You more than anything, and I haven't loved You more than anyone. It's very obvious in my life. And Lord, I want to love You like You want me to love You, and I want to love You the way You deserve to be loved. Lord, I want to love You like You ought to be loved. I want to serve You. I want to follow You. I want to obey You. There may be some in the building today that do not know the Lord Jesus. You've never been saved. And when I talk about being saved, I am not talking about you becoming a Baptist. I'm not talking about you joining this church. When I talk about being saved, I'm talking about coming to Jesus Christ and receiving Him as your Savior. Understanding that no matter how good you live, you can't save yourself. Understand that whatever you do is not enough to save yourself. Jesus Christ is the only one that can save you. You come to Him, accepting Him as your substitute. That's what I mean by being saved. And there may be some across the building today that needs to come to Jesus today and need to do that and be saved. There may be some of you used to serve God, you used to live for God, but you got away from the Lord. Won't you come today and say, Lord Jesus, I want to follow You. And all of us across the building, leaders and members, coming saying, Lord, search my heart that I might love You the way You deserve to be loved. Lord Jesus, today when we say that I love Thee, may we say that, meaning that we love You with the highest kind of love that a human being can know. A love that says, Lord, there is nothing more important in my life than You. There is no one that I love any more than You. I love You more than anyone. May we be able to say that. Lord, You loved us that way. May we love You in return. May the Holy Ghost and the love of God be shed abroad in our heart that we may love in the capacity that You deserve to be loved. May we look at our lives. May our lives speak to us today. May they speak loudly to us today of how much we love You. Lord, may this altar, may there be many that have come and say, Lord, I want to love You like You ought to be loved. I want to show my love. Lord, help us today to prove it. In Jesus' name, God, You speak to hearts, and we'll thank You in Jesus' name. Amen.